That was good singing. The astute of you would have noticed that a lot of our hymns this afternoon have been to do with a nautical theme about the sea. And we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 7. Genesis chapter 7, the story of Noah. We're going to study tonight the instructions and the salvation that Noah knew of. Genesis in the chapter 7. And we'll commence reading at the verse 1 of Genesis and the chapter 7. Noah has already built the ark at this point. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou, and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens the male and his female. And of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive on the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto that the Lord had commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts and of the beasts that are not clean and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah in the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They, and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah in the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. And the flood was upon, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upwards did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Ending our reading there at the verse 24, trusting that the Lord will bless that reading to us. And we'll bow for prayer before we search the scriptures to see what the Lord has in his word. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy written word. We thank thee that the Spirit has inspired every sentence, every single word. Christ says every jot and tittle, that we may know of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing has been left out of this book. And as 1 Timothy says, every word is profitable for doctrine. Father, we pray tonight that the scriptures would even come alive in men's hearts. Father, that they would see Christ in the scripture. That they wouldn't just see a story, a nice narrative, something to pass the time, but that they would come and that they would see Jesus Christ uplifted. Father, this is our prayer. We long, Lord, to see souls saved for Thee. We long to see souls won. So, Father, we pray at the most important time of our meeting, come and deal with the hearts of men. Turn them from darkness unto light and reveal the scriptures to us by Thy Spirit, we pray, for Thy glory and for Thy glory alone. In the Savior's name, amen. Amen. One of the most crucial things, one of the most important things that we need to study in a church setting is salvation. Salvation is one of the most important things that will ever be preached to our never-dying souls. The need, the necessity, the nature of salvation needs to be preached. And when we speak of salvation, if I was to ask you tonight, where would you turn to see salvation? You would take me to the Gospels. You would take me to the cross. You would take me to those epistles, perhaps the book of Romans, those times where the doctrine, the blessings of salvation are so clearly laid out. And you would say, there's salvation so plainly and so clearly. And you can know from those passages that the Lord has planned our salvation. But the Lord did not plan our salvation at the cross. The Lord did not plan our salvation as men led our Savior to the cross. The Lord was not trying to make the best of a bad situation. The Lord had a plan. And as we read Scripture, it's a blessing to us to go back to the very first pages of the Bible and see from the very start the plan that God had to save His people. And we think, of course, of the Garden of Eden. There, the very first man, Adam, he sinned against God. And there was a punishment for that sin. God had warned him of the punishment. And that punishment was that he would be expelled from the garden. But that wasn't where the story ended. You see, through the death of another, through the shedding of blood, Adam was covered. His sin was covered and he was forgiven by God. And there, from the very third chapter of Genesis, we can see salvation foretold. Because that's exactly what the cross is. Upon the shed blood of another, one is covered in righteousness and is forgiven by Christ. The sin is covered, the sin is washed away, and Christ accepts us through the death of another. And throughout the Bible, we can see this. We can see it being revealed to us in almost every page. And we can see that God has always and will always be saving. And we can gather tonight, the redeemed of God, and we can say, praise God that He is not out of the soul-saving business. And amen, what a truth to grasp. That God has not stopped saving souls. He is still drawing men to Himself. As He did with Adam, He is still covering sin. He is still forgiving sinful man. And He is still shedding, through the shed blood of another, imputing His love and His righteousness onto us. And you know, in most passages that we've read in Sunday school from our earliest age, this is so clearly laid out. We think of David and Goliath. David defeating the great enemy that the people may go free. Is that not salvation? Daniel in the lion's den suffering the punishment. Is that not salvation? As we think of Noah in this passage, does it not so clearly speak of salvation? One delivered by God, one protected by God and covered by God. And the beauty of salvation through every page of the Bible is shown to us. Now, I would ask you the question, why? Why is it always shown to us? Why is every passage of the Bible a very picture of Jesus Christ? And the answer is this. Because the Father is pleading for sinners to come to salvation. The Lord desires us to be saved. Peter says He was not willing that any should perish. And in light of His unwillingness that any should perish, God consistently uplifts His Son, having been pleased with the work, having been pleased with that perfect life, that perfect death. He consistently shows it to us throughout the Scripture, that we may even glimpse at one fragment of it that we may even see just a pale reflection of that very salvation. And in the story of Noah, there's so much truth revealed about the saving work of Jesus Christ. There's so much to learn, to be learned from the soul that even is here tonight, the soul outside of Christ. You come to the story of Noah, you cannot fail to read it without seeing the salvation of God upon those who would turn to him for salvation. You see, the Lord has prepared salvation for us. But I would ask you the question, what do you know of it? What do you know in your heart, truly, of the salvation that the Savior has bought for sinners such as I? Sinners, I want you to see tonight, salvation from the storm. That's our title tonight, salvation from the storm. And the first thing I want us to see is there's an invitation to salvation. There's an invite. Look at the verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Who's speaking in this passage? It's God speaking. And God is speaking to Noah, and he says, come thou. There's an invitation there. He draws Noah. He says, come. Come and be saved. Come and be delivered from the judgment that's about to come. And the Lord is warning Noah of what is about to come. We all know the story of Noah, that there was a great flood. We read it in our passage, that washed away every man upon the earth, save Noah and his family. And the Lord warns Noah of what's about to come. Well, let me tell you, the Lord is doing the same tonight. He's warning men that because of sin, there is a just wrath of God upon that sin. And there is only deliverance found in Jesus Christ. But the punishment for that wrath is pending. The judgment for that wrath is breaking at the very seal. Christ describes it in Scripture as a seething, boiling pot. And we think of how the boiling pot begins to shake and shimmer, and it begins to overflow. Well, that's what we're thinking of. The wrath of God is ready to break. Soul, are you in Christ tonight, I wonder? You know, at this time of year, we receive many invitations to weddings at this time of year. And the invitations are usually pretty beautifully adorned. They look lovely. And whenever we get such an invitation, we feel privileged. We feel blessed that this person wants us to come to their special day. Well, tonight, an invitation is going out to the most beautiful wedding of all, to the marriage supper of the Lamb, to be married to Jesus Christ. And the letter is being held out here tonight. And I wonder, is it addressed to you here this evening? The first thing I want to say about this invitation to salvation is the exhortation of it. The exhortation of it. The Lord couldn't make the exhortation any clearer. He says in the verse 1, come, come. There's a simple exhortation there. Come. You know, this word is often used by Christ. It's often used to bring the sinner to himself, to exhort the sinner, to invite the sinner. Come. Think of the words of Christ in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, well, I wonder tonight, are you weary? Are you laden with guilt and with sin, finding no rest for your never-dying soul? Come unto Christ. Christ is standing. Come unto me. You know, the answer to our problems are found in the salvation of God. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, in the verse 10, reads, My beloved spake, and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, come away. Was that not the very exhortation he gave to Noah? Come away. Come away from the sin. Come away from what's about to come out upon this earth and be come away. You know, this sinful world would desire to have all of our time. There's so much time to be spent in everything else. Schoolwork, our jobs, our family, everything would try and take up our time, so we've no time left for the Savior. You know, everyone wants some of our time. We feel as if there aren't enough hours in the day. And we put off for salvation in light of this. We think, I'll get saved at a more convenient season. I'll be saved at another time. But that other time never comes. 2 Corinthians 6 in the verse 2 says, now. Tonight is the day of salvation. And in this day, Christ says, come. Come. There's the exhortation of the invitation. But secondly, notice the proclamation of the invitation. You see, God states the reason why Noah has this invitation. Look there at the second part of the verse. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. You see, Noah was found worthy of receiving such an invitation. God says, I'm telling you to come away because I found you worthy. You are going to escape the judgment, Noah, because you are worthy. Now, why was Noah worthy? He prayed. He preached. He went about telling others of Christ. He was a witness where he lived. Hebrews tells us he was a preacher of righteousness. He was a holy man. He did his best for God. But let me tell you something tonight. Though Noah prayed, though Noah was a mighty preacher, that did not save Noah's soul. Not one bit of that saved Noah's soul. No matter how good of an example he was, no matter how rightly he lived in his home, it didn't save his soul. Noah was not found righteous because he lived well and was kind to people and read the Bible. That wasn't why Noah was saved. Noah was saved because he was made righteous by God. Because Noah knew, I'm a sinner. And there's a punishment for my sin. And in order to escape this punishment, I know that the Savior will bear it one day. And I trust in Christ to deliver me. I wonder, will you have the same faith in God tonight? Will you even trust Christ knowing that he is able to deliver thee? You know, Isaiah tells us that all of our righteousnesses, all of our good deeds, they're like filthy rags. Filthy rags when held up before God's face. And we can try and do our best for people, but it will never get us into heaven. You know, no church on this earth, no church, no matter how good it may be, will get you to heaven. No church will get you to heaven. No sacrament, no deed, no ritual will get you into heaven. And no good intention will get you into heaven. No, oh, I'll be saved one day. Oh, I believe there is a God. I just haven't put my faith in him yet. That won't get you into heaven. Faith in the work of Jesus Christ alone will get you to heaven. Romans 3:23, he states why Noah was worthy of the invitation. He says, the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ, is upon them that believe. You see, Noah was proclaimed worthy because he had the righteousness of God. He trusted Christ. He trusted the Savior to deliver him, not because he was, as this world puts it, good living. You know, Noah was saved because he knew that he could do nothing, but he knew the Savior. He knew the Savior could do everything. You know, what are you relying on tonight? I wonder, are you relying on a profession? Are you relying on some verse in Scripture? Are you relying on a good thing that you did this week? Or are you relying on the finished and incorruptible blood of Jesus Christ the righteous? Notice not only the invitation to salvation, but the preparation of salvation. God gave Noah instructions. That's in the previous chapter. God begins to give Noah instructions in chapter 6, verses 14 to 22 about building the ark. We all know that from our childhoods. Noah was told to build the ark. And these instructions, they seem pretty straightforward, but when we get down to studying them, they are of immense spiritual significance. And I want us to see, firstly, preparation in construction. Preparation in construction. You see, in those verses in Genesis 6, God gives Noah instructions, and they're oddly specific. He gives him the very dimensions of the windows. He tells him what sort of wood he wants used, what length of wood, what breadth of wood. God designs every square inch of that ark. Every last detail is mapped out by God. He knows every little bit. And Noah is to follow those instructions in constructing the ark. So where's the relevance there? Where's the relevance to us? Well, you see, the ark. Well, the ark was to be the very instrument that saved God's people. If Noah was not in the ark, he would be lost. And you see, as God has planned redemption for us, as God constructed salvation for us, knowing that we would be in our sin and that we would need a deliverance, Christ constructed every detail, Every detail is mapped out. Every sin, every blot, every stain has been foreseen and has been atoned for. And the meticulous work that God put into building that ark is paled into insignificance when we see the immense construction and the work that Christ put in salvation. How much greater was salvation constructed for us than this ark? God has planned a way of salvation for you and for I today. You see, our sin deserves the wrath of God. There's a punishment, just as if we would go out tonight and commit a crime, there would be a punishment for our sin. And that punishment is hell. But it was at the cross. Having foreseen our sin, Christ bore our sin and nailed it to the tree that we may go free and we may partake of the salvation which he so carefully constructed from the beginning of the covenant of redemption. And I have to ask you in light of that, what think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ when we consider the salvation that he has made for us today, the way that he has prepared for us, that door, even as we considered this morning, that open door of salvation? What think ye of Christ? But notice not only the preparation and construction, but the preparation and instruction. You see, God had constructed this ark. God had given the plan for this ark. He had the plan there, but Noah had to partake of it. The ark, having been built, standing there, would not have saved Noah. The ark, having been built, the salvation, having been delivered, was not enough. Noah had to partake of that salvation. Noah would be lost if he was outside of that ark. See, God instructed him of what was about to happen. The judgment was coming. And God is still instructing men that his judgment is coming. He says he will come as a thief. He will come swiftly. He will come suddenly and pour out his judgment and his wrath upon the soul that is yet in their sin. He instructed Noah of the salvation that he needed. He said, get into the ark. Come thou into the ark. And Christ is doing the same to us today, that right throughout Scripture, come to Christ. Come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. You see, God, having made salvation possible, does not just leave it there. God, having made salvation possible, instructs his people how to partake of it, how to enjoy the salvation, how to be safe in the very salvation that God has made for us. I want to read a few verses with you. Acts chapter 4 and the verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. He instructs us again in Romans 10 and the verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that he hath raised us from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And finally, Romans 10:13. We've all known it from childhood. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, knowing their sin, knowing that they've let the Lord down, and partaking of that carefully constructed salvation that he has covenanted to make for us. Beloved, we have been instructed in Scripture. We have been commanded in Scripture to seek Christ while he may be found. Draw upon him while he is yet near. You know, on your way out of church tonight, as you make your way out the doors, you will see a text above you. You will see a text and it will read, "It is time to seek the Lord." And that's so true. It is time to seek the Lord. Had Noah had left it till the waters began to prevail, it would have been too late. Now is the day of salvation. I wonder tonight, will you follow this instruction? Will you follow the instruction to partake of the salvation that God has made for you? But notice not only the invitation to salvation and the preparation of salvation, but notice the conclusion of salvation. You see, our salvation, or our lack to be saved, has eternal consequences. There are souls here tonight who are saved, And they're going to spend an eternity in adoration. But there's souls here tonight that are not yet saved. And if thou continue in your sin, you'll spend an eternity in agony, not in adoration. They have starkly different consequences. And we've talked tonight about the ark. We've talked tonight about the ark being a very picture of Jesus Christ, but it's not the only one. Jesus Christ said himself, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And we read in our text, we read about a door. We read about a door. In verse 16, look down at it. "They went in, male and female, as God had commanded them, and the door shut them in." You know, the ark was very, very big. There were a lot of animals. There were people. A lot of stuff needed to go into the ark. Yet what happens? There's one door. One door in the whole ark. No matter its size, there was only one way in. There was only one way into the ark. And in verse 16, the Lord shuts the door. There are two different people on either side of that door. Inside Noah, outside the world. And I want us to see, firstly, the shut door of separation. The shut door of separation. We all know that God closed the door, that Noah and his family were safe, that the ark rose upon the waters, and that they were saved, carried away, and they would go to repopulate the earth. But what of the souls that were outside? What of the souls that were walking upon the earth? What of the souls that had heard Noah preach and turned away from what he had been preaching? Well, look at verses 21. "And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man." And it says there at the end of verse 22 that all died. Everything that was not in the ark died. You know what a sad story that is. What a number of deaths that happened that day. What a number of souls that fell to the very judgment of the Lord. You see, when the door shut, one thing was certain. There were those who would be safe. Safe inside the ark, protected by God. The door was closed. But there was also those, and they would be lost. That door was not going to be pried open. I'm sure Noah, I know the Lord shut the door. I'm sure Noah, if he could, would have opened that door and let the souls in. Because I'm sure people ran to that ark and banged upon the door whenever the rains came down. And if Noah could have opened it, I would say that Noah would have. But the Lord shut that door. The time had passed. The day of the Lord's grace had passed for those souls who had rejected the deliverance. You know, there's a story Christ tells of virgins, 10 virgins. And there's 5 wise and there's 5 foolish. And in Jewish tradition, what used to happen before a wedding is that the virgins would have waited outside for the bridegroom to come and to get his bride. And whenever the bridegroom come, the virgins would run out to meet the bridegroom and walk him into the very house. And Christ tells of these virgins, and he says that 10 were wise and 10 were foolish. And what happens is, as the night goes on and the bridegroom tarries, that the foolish virgins run out of oil for their lamps and the night is dark. And so what do? They run into the city. They run to buy oil for their lamps. And while they're away doing their own thing, Christ comes. He comes into the house, the bridegroom comes, and he shuts the door. You know, those virgins, they ran back. They banged upon the door. They asked to be let in. But the time had passed. Too late for salvation. Too late. And what a sad story that is. You see, tonight, there is a deadline. There is a deadline of the Lord's saving grace. One day, he will exhort you for the last time. One day, the Lord will uplift the Savior. The Spirit will strive in your heart. And your final denial to get saved will seal your eternity in hell. Hell is not probationary. We don't go to hell for a little while and eventually get out. Hell is not probationary. Hell is not rehabilitational. We don't go to hell to get better and then one day get to heaven. Hell is not purifying. Hell is the punishment, the It will be ongoing and ongoing and ongoing for all eternity because of our sin. How many times, I wonder, like the Apostle Paul, have we felt the pricks of our conscience? We felt, I need to get saved, and yet we put it off. Something else grows up. We're like that seed that falls upon the ground, and the thorns of this earth rise up and steal away the word. The distractions, the discouragements rise up. Our friends will maybe say a word that takes our attention away. I wonder how many times that's happened. You know, how foolish were those that whenever the rain began to fall and the door was yet open, didn't immediately run into the ark? How foolish would they have not been? Yet how foolish we are tonight. As the open door of salvation is presented before us, and as the very raindrops of God's judgment are beginning to fall, that men do not run into this open door of salvation. How will we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Will you be left, I wonder, if the Lord was to come tonight on the outside of that door? But notice not only the shut door of separation, there's also the shut door of salvation. And I now talk to the redeemed souls of God. Noah and his family were safe. That door was not going to open again, apart from whenever the Lord would bring them out into that which he had promised them. That door was shut. Noah and his family were safe and would continue to be safe. They were sealed because the Lord had promised to deliver them. You know, God has provided a salvation for us. And praise God, his promise of salvation will never fall through. We will never slip through the very fingers of God if we're saved. But he has saved us forevermore. We believe in the perseverance of the saints. Nothing could harm them upon the ark. They were in God's hands. God has provided us peace, deliverance, and hope if we would only take from it. And sinner, can you see the blessings there? Soul that is outside of Christ, as the waters began to rush and as men cried to the Lord for mercy, that Noah and his family were safe and enjoying the Lord's bountiful provision. I wonder when the judgment day comes, when the Lord will return in all of his glory, where will you be found? On what side will you be? Will you be on the shut door of salvation, knowing that your Savior's coming to lift you up into the sky? Or will you be on the shut door of separation, knowing that as the Lord comes, you will be eternally lost? You know, in closing, I want to remind you tonight of a children's chorus. You know, children's choruses, they're brilliant. There's so much truth in a children's chorus that we fail to see too often. But there's a children's chorus we sing on a Tuesday night, and it sounds like this. I'm not going to sing it, but it's one door and only one. And yet its sides are two. The inside, the outside. On which side are you? One door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? You know, where are you tonight? That was the very first question asked in the whole Bible. Where art thou? I wonder where you are tonight. Are you out of Christ, under the wrath of God, under his judgment, watching the very door of salvation close before your very eyes? Or are you safe? Do you know that whatever may betide, whatever may come, that you're saved, that the Lord is going to deliver you? Beloved, God's Spirit, he says in Genesis 6 and the verse 6, will not always strive with man. The Spirit may convict us of our sin, may show us Christ, but that Spirit will not always strive with man. How many times have we denied the Holy Spirit? I wonder tonight, will this be the night when you flee to Jesus Christ? That is our prayer tonight, that men and women lost in their sin would flee to that open door of salvation and come under the mercy and the love and the salvation that's been meticulously built in Jesus Christ. Amen. And we trust that the Lord will bless that message to our hearts.